flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Renaming the Lombardi. I know John's got a take on that. We'll do it at 9:20.
All right.
What's your response to the question I asked? Would you take 11 wins next year for the Lions?
No, I don't want to limit myself. Is there risk involved? Sure, it's sports. I think if anybody doesn't understand the risk, they didn't watch the divisional round against the Commanders. Like, there is risk. If you don't, okay, there's no world where we get guaranteed anything. And 11 wins, sure, it's a good season. I don't think 11 wins wins you the division.
It's
a wild card playoff spot. This is a division winning team. Even not knowing what they do in free agency or in the draft, I think this is a team that should, again, third year in a row, win the division. And I don't think 11 wins gets it done. I think Green Bay is always going to be annoying. They're always going to be right there. I don't think with Jordan Love they ever get over the hill. But Minnesota, with Kevin O'Connell, whoever they put at quarterback, they're going to win some games. Brian Flores on defense, they're going to win some games. It doesn't mean they're going to beat the Lions, but you add them all up at the end, and we know that last week of the season, it was 14-14, head-to-head.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
You're not going to concede the division.
No, I'm not going to concede the division. I still think with Goff and this offense... If they remain relatively healthy, defensively, they remain relatively healthy. This is a team that is, we talked about the best division in football. Now, in the playoffs, they didn't play like the best division in football. But I do think it's the best coach division in football, top to bottom. We'll see what Ben Johnson does in Chicago. But he's got some tools to work with. And it's going to be a tough division. You may pick up another loss or two there. It's a tough road trip. Next year, all the different games that they play on the road, and the roads is brutal.
Yeah, I've got the road schedule in front of me.
3 division opponents: Washington, Philly, Cincy, Baltimore, KC, and the Rams.
All road games.
All road games. Now the home is a little bit easier. Still got some tough games. Obviously the 3 divisions, but you're gonna play 9 on the road.
Guys, let us know, how big a step back do you expect? When you play that road schedule, when you lose 2 coordinators, how big a step back do you expect? They won 15 games. Do I think they're going to go 6-0 in the division every year? No. Do I think they'll lose one of those tough road games? Yeah, maybe 2 of them. I can't go all the way back down to 11. I think the roster's too good. I wouldn't settle for 11 wins.
No, and I think they're a division-winning team. I think it's going to take 12. That's where, if I was forced to put a number on it next year, which Schedule's not out.
I know.
We know opponents. We don't know what sequence it's going to be. We have no idea what they're going to do in free agency or how Aleem McNeil is going to heal. Will he be ready for week one?
That's a good point.
Aiden Hutchinson, how is he going to recover from a really bad leg injury? We were all hopeful that he was going to come back for the Super Bowl. It didn't matter. They didn't make it. But what's he going to be like when he comes back? Does he hit the ground running?
I guess I think the schedule is maybe the better argument than the coordinators. Because the coordinator stuff to me doesn't freak me out like I think some people are freaked out by it. I know Philly lost two coordinators and it was a step back. I think some of that is you got to hire good people. When you bring Matt Patricia into your organization late in the year and you hand him the keys to your defense, none of us in Detroit are surprised how poorly that went.
Right.
With Dan Campbell, his offensive coordinator is the only outside hire. And that guy is someone with Sean Payton roots in John Morton. And Dan Campbell has been involved in this offense even when Ben Johnson was the play caller. It's Dan Campbell's offense. If they can play pass, if they can run the ball, they still have the players. They still had seven Pro Bowlers on offense. I think they're going to be just fine on offense. Even if they're not number one in scoring, they're going to be just fine. And on defense, look, they're doubling down after a 15-win season. They believe the philosophy on defense is a winning formula, so they promote from within with Calvin Shepard. But if it doesn't work, we know Dan Campbell's not going to be afraid to move things around. He's already made changes mid-season with his staff twice in 4 years. The coordinator stuff doesn't spook me, John. It doesn't.
No, and even if they quote-unquote take a step back in terms of productive numbers offensively, they're not, you know, the number one scoring offense, or they're not the offense with the most yards or the most touchdowns or whatever metric you want to use, it doesn't mean that they're going to lose games. Defensively, they should be better. That in and of itself is where you can look and say, you can pick up a couple of wins that way. And if you look at the schedule, I already mentioned Green Bay. We know about Chicago and Minnesota. We're going into this season and hoping that everybody stays healthy, at least the key players. What happens in Washington, Philly, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Kansas City? Like, we don't know what happens there for injuries or what they do in the offseason. Do they follow? We're looking at this through the eyes of the 2024 season.
And I think that's actually an interesting way of looking at it. Sure, there's going to be some step back, maybe on the offense slightly. Are they going to go 6-0 in the division? No. Do you think they're going to have 22 guys on IR? Like, there'll be injuries, but I can't imagine. Like, this last year was an abnormally large number of injuries. They should be healthier next year just because that's the way this typically goes. So where are you guys at? If you're offered 11 wins for next year right now, pre-free agency, pre-draft,
would you take it?
Would you take it? Let's go to DJ in Pontiac. DJ, good morning.
Good morning. I would take 10 wins and run with it this the upcoming season.
Really? Why?
Yeah, the reason for that is 2024, we caught everybody by surprise with the fourth and everything. And now, as you see, everybody, as typical in the last few games, everybody's going for it. So while everybody else was settling for three, we were going for seven. And this year coming up, we won't have that advantage because everybody will be going for seven instead of settling for the three. So we were gaining an extra four points pretty much every time.
It's one thing to go for it. It's another thing to convert it. I think the Lions convert a lot of them because they have great offensive personnel. And in terms of like catching people off guard,
they were the Super Bowl favorites going into the season. I don't think you're sneaking up on anyone. They went to the NFC Championship game. They weren't sneaking up on anyone.
And DJ Dan had been going for fourth down for years. That wasn't new to this season.
Yeah, but was everybody else going for it on fourth down? I'm saying lately, if you watch the last few games.
Oh, I know.
Pretty much everybody going for it on fourth down.
Sure. Oh, I think the Campbell effect is real.
He's definitely impacted the way that other coaches are willing to call things, especially when they play the Detroit Lions. When you play an offense that's playing four down offense, that's a different concept defensively, and it's a different concept offensively because you're going to have your opponent, the Lions, are going to extend drives. They're going to possess the ball more, and so it changes game plans on both sides of the ball.
Texter says, is anybody on the show allowed to say under 10 wins? Wouldn't that go against your boogie fever mentality? You're allowed to say whatever you want, guys.
Sure.
Come on.
And when we get a chance to see, this could be more training camp, what does the offense look like? and we get a feel more of what's the impact that John Morton will have on this offense. What are we going to hear from Dan Campbell about, you know, putting together game plans, play calling, all of those things offensively? Like, we haven't heard any of those details yet.
11 wins, no way. Offense will struggle. Can't count on the D to carry him. I'd put money on 8 to 9 wins and no playoffs. So sounds like this person would take 11 wins if offered. Another one says, I take 11 simply because you never know what's going to happen, injuries and such. 11 wins, you get in the playoffs. I'd take that all day. Go from there, Ryan in Rochester.
Yeah, but then you risk the opportunity to do something good, something great.
I know the bye didn't work out.
No,
but I'd still rather have it. I mean, let's not let that scar you for life. The bye still is one less game you got to play, and it's home games.
We're going to get to the end of the season, and what's the topic at that point? Hey, lose to the Vikings so that we don't get the one seed?
Wouldn't put it past people.
See what the season did to people? That kind of stuff. Look, I wouldn't cap this. I see where Mike is coming from with the 11 wins, because it's just hard to win 11 games in this league. And, you know, I do think he's probably playing a schedule game, and justifiably so, because of the quality of quarterbacks they got to play on the road. But, look, I go back to this last season. They had that stretch where they played 4 on the road out of 5 games, and it was Dallas, Minnesota,
Houston, Green Bay,
then Houston.
Yeah.
Nobody, not even us disco people, said they were going to run that.
Correct.
Before the season. I would say the only reason, only way they could run back a similar season, like 14-3, let's say, you know, is.
And don't say 14 wins before the season starts. It's illogical.
I know. No, the only way it would run it back is if they're relatively healthy and they just take back on that look that they had prior to the Hutch injury. They had that look. What I would say to Jim, like, maybe to say, well, I don't, like, what are you expecting right now? Are you kind of thinking 12-13? Yeah, I would say that's the.
So that's why I wouldn't just flippantly settle for 11 when I think they can do better.
Because I'm still buying into how really good they are if they're pretty healthy.
Yeah.
So, but man, that's a gauntlet next year. But I just say, because of that stretch this season, don't get caught in that. We played a schedule game too much. Nobody thought they were going 8-0 on the road.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Because last year we did the schedule's tougher, they probably won't win as many games, and they won more.
Yeah,
right. They won even more with all the injuries on defense.
I think the NFC North, they didn't win a playoff game. And we all thought it was really good. And I think in hindsight, we inflated the NFC North because they played against AFC South. And so one of the reasons all these teams won so many games is because you won all those easy ones. And now they'll be harder next year. So there'll probably be a balancing out. But I don't know why anybody would want to put a cap on it. I'm not afraid that they're not going to win 10 or 11.
Yeah, that's kind of how I took it. I said it was doomy. Not quite full doom and gloom, because 11 wins is a hell of a season, but
with the standard that they're playing by now.
It feels...
I mean, we made assumptions last year that the Bengals were going to bounce back. You know, a lot of people had them in the Super Bowl. They didn't make the playoffs, so maybe they do that again. You know, Burrow's been hurt, so you just don't know how it's going to play out.
We'll get rapid-fire phone calls coming up next. Want to know where you guys are at. How big of a step back would you take the 11-win guarantee? John has a thought on renaming the Lombardi Trophy. We have Dear John at 935. It's 97.1.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up at 10 o'clock today. Another installment of the Carson Anderson program.
I don't think I've heard the drops, but I've never heard the montage. That's awesome.
Greg, I like what you did there. Doomy was my word to say. Only 11 wins for the Lions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing gets past you. Hey, real quick, before we get to the calls and Lions fans and how big of a step back they expect, would they settle for 11 wins? Or is that actually, hey, I take that in a heartbeat. Renaming the Lombardi Trophy. Belichick says name it after Brady. You say...
No. There's way too much history that we are brushing aside for recency bias. Now, I know that Tom has 7 Super Bowl titles. He's also lost a number of them. He's been there more than anybody else in the history of the game. But this has been the Lombardi Trophy since, I mean, not the beginning of the Super Bowl, because the first 2 Super Bowls were won by who other than Vince Lombardi. Right. And leading up to that, there were 5 more NFL championships that Vince Lombardi won before it was the quote-unquote Super Bowl era. Why are we so quick to brush aside, even though it's a generation removed? Like, everybody still knows the name Vince Lombardi. They know it because of the trophy. They know of it because of Green Bay. And it's not just here in the North that we're familiar with Vince Lombardi. His impact on the game. People still write books about him. People still use his quotes. He was a great motivator. We see clips of him even to this day when they start talking about the Super Bowl. Why are we so quick to brush aside something that may have happened 60 years ago simply because we think there's something more bright and shiny now? It drives me nuts. And we're doing it. And we've done it in college football. Now they want to do it in the NFL. We've done it at every other aspect of life. History matters. And let's not just throw away something because there is a quarterback that's won X amount of Super Bowls or that they've done this in the last 20 years or nobody's ever done it.
Because what happens if Mahomes wins more, we rename it Mahomes?
So then are we just going to, over the next 20 years, right? In 20 years, are we just going to name it the Mahomes? Or who is the next guy after that? What happens with this young fella in Washington? Is he going to be better than both Tom and Patrick together?
You play the whole season to win the Daniels.
It's
the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah, let's not be so quick to just completely throw away history and try and forget what has happened for things that are happening. If you want to rename a quarterback trophy, the MVP award, whatever, like some of those things, yeah, you can redo. But this is iconic, and let's not forget the history for those that got us to where we are now.
Keep it the Lombardi Trophy. All right, Lions fans. Would you take 11 wins for next year, knowing the schedule, knowing you lost the coordinators, or that's too big of a step back? You don't see it. Let's go to Ernie in 97.1. Ernie, you're in Novi. You're on the air. What's up?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I am expecting 13 wins, and what strikes me is there was a call to the station. I forget if it was your show or one of the later shows in the day. Earlier this week, from a statistician who had looked at NFL history and saw that there were 8 teams that had successful teams that lost both coordinators, and he looked at how much of a drop-off they had the following year.
Okay.
And the result of that study was the average was 2 wins, and the worst was 3 wins. So 11 wins does not make sense from 15. What makes sense is, if we're following the average, would be 13, but at worst would be 12.
Right.
So that's how I see it.
Well, and there's also other factors, Ernie, that play into that. When you play and you win a division, you're going to play a first-place schedule. So your schedule next year, now it's not going to be any harder. You know, it technically shouldn't be any harder than this year because they played a first-place schedule this year.
But it does look harder on paper.
It does look harder on paper. And that's where you have some of these teams that all of a sudden they do win a division and their coordinators are plucked. And then the next year they've got to play a tougher schedule along with trying to break in a couple new coordinators. So, yeah. I think that they're going to be a 15-win team? Probably not. It's a rare occasion in the NFL. That's what makes this season so disappointing. But I don't think that they fall all the way back to 11.
It's only happened 9 times. A team's won 15 or more games. Hard to say they're going to duplicate it, be perfect in the division. I just think they're going to be healthier on defense, even with a step back from the number one offense to the number 2, 3, 4. I think they'll be top 5. They'll still win 12, 13 games. What about you guys? Brian and Warren, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, hi. So Vince Lombardi, he brought so much into the NFL. It was more than just football and plays and, you know, fight hard. He brought in a lot of religion, actually, and he brought in so much faith and good to the game, and just speaking of like a higher meaning than football, and that's why that should forever be the Lombardi Trophy. Tom Brady, he's a puppet, a statue, whatever. You know, he was a great football player too, but now as far as the season goes for 11 wins, you don't ever discount yourself like that. You have to shoot for the stars. 15 wins was great. Go for more, because I guarantee if they get that number one seed again, it's not going to be the Ben Johnson showboating his playbook anymore. It's going to be kicking some butt and getting to the championship game, if not the Super Bowl. And, John, I got a little question for you, too.
Oh, okay. Throw it at me.
Do you see Ma'am, Webster's mom, better suited for the corpse of George Karras, Dan Campbell, or go back to Kurt Warner? What do you think? It's a poll.
Wait. Please repeat the question.
The show Webster?
Yeah, I know the show. Yeah, I know his mom.
So Ma'am, Kurt Warner's wife, do you see Ma'am with Kurt Warner better, or Dan Campbell, or maybe just George Karras again if he was still alive? Who's Ma'am best fit in your eyes?
Probably Kurt Warner, because that I think Holly is. I don't think that they're one and the same.
It's a very odd question.
Tough question. Yeah,
That will not be discussed in Dear John. We'll get to that at 9:35.
To his point, though, yeah, in regards to the number of games that were lost after losing both coordinators, we always, recency bias, we look at who did it last. Philly, 14-3. In 22, lose both coordinators, and to his point, they lost three more games, so they were 11-6. Now, part of that was they completely fell apart at the end of the season defensively. They had Matt Patricia. Like, we all know why that was a dysfunctional team. I don't think dysfunction is going to follow Dan Campbell.
I don't either. Let's get to Heather with the news.
So last night's midair collision over the Potomac River is now the deadliest aviation disaster in the U.S. since November 12th of 2021. Mm. Back then, an American Airlines flight crashed in New York, killing all 260 people on board. I mean, we're learning now that there are most likely no survivors of this. I mean,
yeah. Especially from when it happened. It happened late last night,
did.
And it was dark, it was cold.
It's
you
frigid.
Couldn't find anybody, even if they did survive the
and
crash.
And when you see what the plane, like the fuselage, is broken apart in three pieces, it was turned upside down. It's just devastating. But there's now like really devastating and horrifying stories that are beginning to come out. There was one man who was at the airport, says that his wife was on that flight, texted him that she was about to land. Hey, I'll be landing in 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden their communication was cut short. He was responding to her, right? Probably saying like, hey, I'm here waiting. I'll be by bag. Who knows what he was saying? By baggage claim. And then he realized that his texts weren't going through. And that's when he subconsciously thought, well, maybe this doesn't seem right. Maybe something's wrong. And then, of course, you hear about this. And he, you know, told reporters that he was praying that his wife
would survive,
would be
somehow
recovered.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we are learning that there are no survivors. So far, they have recovered 28 bodies, more to come. We're also learning a little bit more about the passengers besides this man's wife. There were six members of a Massachusetts skating club, ice skating club, that were on board, two skaters, two coaches, two parents. But it also sounds like there were at least eight other members of the U.S. skating, whatever you call it, federation community that were also on board as well. It's just, it's absolutely devastating. And now that the sun is coming out, right, and you're seeing more details, I mean, you could just see more, right? Because it's not dark. It's just, it's so tragic.
Yeah. Not a story you want to hear when you're texting your wife on a plane.
Not at all.
No,
not at all. Oh, gosh. Did
yes,
your texts go through?
Yeah, they have gone through,
okay,
yes.
All right, in lighter news, if the Kansas City Chiefs win and become the first team to win three Super Bowls in a row.
Rename the trophy.
Yeah, a Miami Heat owner might be making some big bucks on it.
Oh.
You heard this story. So back in 1988, legendary NBA coach and Miami Heat president, minority owner now, Pat Riley, trademarked the term three-peat.
Yeah.
Yes, after the Lakers were heading in that direction, but lost to the Pistons, so it didn't three-peat then.
Yep.
But he trademarked it. That went through. His company was granted that trademark. So that means anyone wanting to use commercial use of the term, whether it's on shirts or hats or any type of merchandise, will have to pay up. And it has been beneficial to him in the past, specifically when the Chicago Bulls pulled off a three-peat twice. So he received approximately $300,000 in licensing and royalty fees back in 1993, another $600,000 in 1998, and then he got more money when the Lakers did finally get their three-peat in 2000, 2001, 2002. He did say, though, back in 2006, he said that most of that money he's making, he does donate to charity. So that's
good.
That's pretty cool that he's doing that. But man,
nice move.
Smart man. Yep. Little did he know, or maybe he did know, and that's why he did it. Pretty cool. You might have noticed that Tom Izzo was wearing a pair of shoes that very different looking last night. You know, so he was wearing these shoes during Michigan State's win over Minnesota, and you know they were these low top Nike shoes, the green swoosh. But it wasn't that. It was writing on the shoes that caught everybody's eye. Like, what is that? It was in green and black marker. Yep. Well, it turns out that they were signatures and words written by cancer patients at Sparrow Hospital in Lansing.
It's very cool.
Yeah, and he wore them as part of the American Cancer Society's Coaches versus Cancer Suits and Sneakers Week, which is pretty cool. And he did talk about wearing them and how, you know, he talked to the players like, hey, here, you're fighting to win a game, right? But here are the names of all the people who are fighting for their lives, right? Like, so put that in perspective a little bit, and said that he did talk to his players about it, which is pretty cool.
It's all class. Love that. It's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Dear John, it's 97.1.